Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello, and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbach. So happy to be back with you again on our last day of this week. We've spent the week together going through the Psalms once again and going through a couple different passages in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 1 and Hebrews 2, mainly focusing on this week, the connection between Jesus being seated at the right hand of the Father as our great high priest and what that means for us. That he was the pioneer. We talked about this yesterday. I love this language, the pioneer of our salvation. That he takes human flesh where it has never gone before into the realms of heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father as fully God and fully man. He's the pioneer of our salvation. But how does he become the pioneer? Through suffering and death. And so we have this juxtaposition that we always see in Jesus as he shows us the way of he is honored and glorified and majestic in all of his ways. And at the same time, he suffers. He suffers. And he shows us that the way to honor and glory is suffering. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing that we see. And I want to encourage you to go and listen to this week's show as we talk about holding fast to our confession, as we talk about not drifting away from the power of this message, as we talked about having confidence in God. And as I said at the beginning of the week, friends, as we're reading these passages this summer, one of the things I think the Lord is doing amidst all the chaos of the world is trying to bring his followers deeper and deeper into the security of him, of not in the circumstances, not in our own hopes and dreams and desires, but into security of who he is. That's why I love, we read a passage a couple days ago where it says, we can't see everything, but we see Jesus. Friends, today, as we're going through these passages, as we're going through Psalm 41, as we're entering into the last couple of verses, we're going to go over in Hebrews chapter 2, see Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you see Jesus, to look at him, to fix your eyes on the one who is seated on the throne. Amen? Amen. All right, so we're going to read a little bit of Psalm 41 as we open up in prayer, and then we'll dive into Hebrews chapter 2. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed are those who have regard for the weak. The Lord delivers them in times of trouble. The Lord protects and preserves them. They are counted among the blessed in the land. He does not give them over to the desire of their foes. The Lord sustains them on their sick bed and restores them from the bed of illness. I said, "Have mercy on me, Lord. Heal me, for I have sinned against you." My enemies say of me in malice, "When will he die and his name perish?" When one of them comes to see me, he speaks falsely while his heart gathers slander. Then he goes out and spreads it around. But may you have mercy on me, Lord. Raise me up that I may repay them. I know that you are pleased with me, for my enemy does not triumph over me. Because of my integrity, you uphold me and set me in your presence forever. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Praise be to you, Lord Jesus, the Lord God of Israel. And we just come before you as we continue with this episode, as we dive into the passage of scripture that you're going to take us into. And we just delight in the security and the confidence that you are with us, that you are pleased with us, Lord, that you have had mercy on us, that you've healed us. And no matter what others may say about us, no matter the circumstances of our life, you love us and you delight in us, and we hold fast to that reality. I pray all this in your most holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love that just assurance from David in verse 11. I know that you are pleased with me. Some of us are living every day in the reality that we think God is not pleased with us. We don't know that God likes us. We don't know that God loves us. And so I think just speaking that over ourselves as we pray, like, Lord, show me how you're pleased with me. Show me how you're delighting in me. Show me, show me, show me. And I, for me, I'm going to make that my refrain today as I go throughout my day. I know that you are pleased with me, Lord. Show me that you are pleased with me. Show me your delight and your pleasure in me. Amen. It's so good. So good. So we're going to pick up in Hebrews chapter 2. We're going to read a little bit what we've already read. And then I'm going to kind of end the chapter here. Starting in verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same nature, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. For surely it is not with the angels that he is concerned, but with the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brethren in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make expiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered and been tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. This is such an amazing passage, and I really want to get to all of it before we finish, because even just as I was reading that, there's an amazing amount of security and comfort that wells up in knowing that Jesus knows what we've experienced, that he can help us. And so I want to start here. It says, he himself likewise partook of the same nature. Again, like we've been talking about all week, the mind-blowing reality that we have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us grasp. Jesus Christ took on our nature. Unbelievable. Continues on, that through death, he might destroy him who has the power of death. This is Jesus's mission, that through his death, when he went down into the ground, this is why the kingdom of God turns everything on its head, that death becomes now a doorway to victory. The thing that we could not conquer, the last thing that conquered us, Jesus says, I come and now conquer, that through death, he conquers the one who brings death. The one who has the power of death, the devil, he conquers him through death. That is so boss. Like, it's just so amazing to think he takes the thing that the devil says, this is the biggest weapon that I have. This is the TNT bomb in my arsenal. This is my big atomic bomb weapon. And Jesus uses that to say, I am defeating death through death. It's unbelievable. And to deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. Here's that word subject again. So here's the reality. When we're born into sin as children of wrath and sin dominates us, without the life-saving power of Jesus, without faith in him that leads us to eternal life, we are subject to death. That we have to die. We can't live forever. This is the thing that dominates us, and that fear, the reality that we can't escape death, is accompanied by a fear of death that holds man in bondage. This is the deep bondage of sin and the bondage of evil, that when we're not united to God, ultimately when we give in to sin and when we sin without repentance, we're submitting again to what Paul says is the bondage of sin, under again the yoke of slavery. And without Jesus, without the Father sending the Son, and without baptism and faith in the only Son of God, the human race is not okay. Everybody is not okay. Without Jesus, we're living under the slavery of sin and a bondage to the fear of death. We're afraid. We're living in fear. We're wrapped up. What's going to happen to us? And that takes forms in many, many places. It takes forms in lesser places, in forms of anxiety, in forms of fear about how our life is going to go. It takes forms of we need to control every single little thing and we can't trust God. But Jesus has come to deliver the human race from the bondage of death. This is why Paul says, do not submit back under the bondage of the yoke of slavery. You are not a slave to the fear of death anymore. And deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. You are not in bondage. I am not in bondage. Even if I sin, if I repent, I am not in bondage. Jesus has set me free from the power of sin and death. He set you free from the power of sin and death, which means now you can live differently. For surely it is not with the angels that he is concerned, but with the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make expiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered and been tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted. He doesn't just do a magical wand from up in heaven. He says, my people are suffering under the bondage of death. They're enduring death. They're enduring sin. They're enduring temptation. They're enduring suffering. And so I'm going to go as a faithful high priest, and I'm going to experience everything they experience, even unto death. I'm going to take it all. Friends, Jesus knows in the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't just drink of this like generic cup of sin. Jesus was sweating blood, the church teaches us, in the Garden of Gethsemane because he was feeling the weight and the shame and the guilt of every single particular sin, from gossip to murder to sexual sin. Think of the most shame and the most guilt you've ever felt in your life of sin. Think of the lowest you felt, that weight that you feel like is just going to absolutely crush you. The sickness that you feel with yourself, the separation that you feel from God. Jesus felt that. He felt it in the garden. He took it on. He knows. Not in like some generic way of like, oh, I know what you're feeling. He felt it so that he could be a faithful high priest. I think I might have said this on the show before. I don't know, but I recently heard that Jesus, when he was going through his passion, he was given two glasses of wine. One glass of wine he refuses and one he drinks. And I was hearing something in a podcast I was listening to, and I later looked it up. They were saying that the first glass of wine he was offered was a particular type of wine that people drank. It was kind of like a drug. It would have eased his suffering. It would have made him feel less of his suffering. It was like a numbing agent. And Jesus refuses that. And the second glass of wine he takes is one, a different type of wine, that's one that workers drank to make them more alert for the task at hand. So Jesus refuses the numbing. He refuses the numbing, but he takes the wine that makes him more alert to the suffering. Why? Because he wanted to feel every ounce of suffering on your behalf. He wanted you to know, I know what you're going through. I know the temptation. I've tasted it and I've gone so far, even to death. So friends, cast your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Bring your temptations to him. Bring your frustrations to him. Bring everything to him because he knows, and pray and say, faithful high priest who has made expiation for my sins, help me. Help me. He is the one who's seated on the throne, and he will help you refuse temptation because he's brought you all the way. He's brought your human flesh to heaven, and he wants to seat you with him in honor and glory. God bless you, friends. We'll see you next week.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at avemariaradio.net and at renewalministries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burek's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.